Division 2, the Exaltation of Esther. Esther chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants said, "Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti." And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Esther chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here is where Esther comes upon the scene. She is one of the maidens selected to come into the presence of the king to see if she pleased him. It was as though she had been raised from the dead, for she was orphaned and desolate, had it not been for her cousin Mordecai the Jew. He adopted her in her youth as his own child, hence identifies himself with her, seeking her interests and her cause all the days of his life. Mordecai furnishes us a striking type of Jesus as the man of Nazareth. He is viewed as one with his people, the Jews, one in their suffering, rejection, and persecution. And even in their rebellion, he does not cast them off entirely, as this book is plainly the proof. For though he may work in the dark in their behalf, yet work he will. But it is especially toward the true and precious remnant that he manifests himself. Hadassah, which means myrtle, the Hebrew name of Esther, is a most fragrant type of that blessed overcoming company. They will show their resurrection life, a green tree, myrtle, amidst the dead bones of Israel. They will believe and yield to the Lord. He will be with them in an especial way, and they will reciprocate his affection, manifested in a loving, obedient spirit. There has always been a remnant among the natural seed of Abraham who have believed. As has been written, even so then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11 verse 5. In his day the apostle Paul was one of that remnant. And today there is a company among the Jews who are turning to God and accepting Christ as their Messiah. Furthermore, Israel, as the 10 tribes are generally called, is hidden in the world. There may be an election from among them in preparation even now to make their entrance upon the stage as the star, Esther, of the drama. As was intimated, Mordecai is representative of Jesus, the Israelite, the man, not Jesus as God. It is rather his humanity that is to the front here. He is viewed as when upon earth a lowly, dependent man among his own people, one with them, cleaving to Jewish folks and Jewish hopes. His name, Mordecai, means bitterness of my oppressed, and it is butter on the bread of our interpretation. He tastes the bitterness of the oppressions of his beloved people. He is the son of Jair, which means he will enlighten, the grandson of Shimei, which means the hearing one, and the great-grandson of Kish, a Benjamite. Thus we see that his genealogy was perfect. He was a true son of Israel. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women, Esther chapter 2, verse 8. And we read further that Haggai, whose name means venerable, was very much pleased with Esther. The meaning of his name suggests the Holy Spirit. He speedily gave her all that she needed for her preparation to meet the eyes of the king, and according to her, the best place in the house of the women. All these things are written for us also, for the church is in preparation today for an even better place than that of which Esther speaks. She too needs the sweet odors which the Holy Spirit gives to make her find favor with the king. All the women were in preparation 12 months, the number emphasizing God's absolute rule in the heart. 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, Esther chapter 2 verse 9. The myrrh symbolizes suffering, which is an absolute necessity for fitness to reign with Christ. It is so at the present time. It will be so at a later period. Suffering is the price of the throne, as the Apostle Paul said, "If we suffer, we shall reign." The sweet odor symbolized the fragrance that results from the life of Christ in the bruising. When we suffer in the will of God as a Christian, and receive it all from Father's hand, and praise Him for the all things that are working good for us, then the sweet odors are manifest. We are thus in preparation to please our Bridegroom. Observe especially that it was Haggai that gave these essentials to Esther. It is the Spirit of God that brings the grace to us now and will do the same later for the remnant that makes us precious to Jehovah. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the king's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Esther chapter 2, verse 11. What marvelous solicitude, what interest, what deep abiding care. It just exemplifies the loving watch care of Jesus for his dear people. Every day there was no cessation of his love on her behalf. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Isaiah 63, verse 9. Mordecai is identified with Esther. Her good fortune is his. He jointly shares her joys and her sorrows. And his interest in her signifies interest in all his people. Everything depends upon Esther gaining the favor of Ahasuerus. Otherwise, they are doomed. Mordecai is assured of this fact, hence he is apparently nervous with concern. There is a man upon the scene that he realizes is the bitter enemy of the Jews, and he stands high in the favor of the king. He was his favorite counselor. Therefore, Mordecai finds no rest until he knows the sequel regarding Esther. Everything depends upon her. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come that she was to go into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the keeper of the women, appointed. Esther chapter 2, verse 15. This is the first time we read of Esther's father. His name, Abihail, means father of endurance or shining, and bespeaks her manner of stock. She came of soldier stock. The overcoming winning life gave her birth. No namby-pamby, shilly-shally, pusillanimous begetter did she call her father. He was also the uncle of Mordecai. Hence, we are shown that the latter was Esther's cousin, though much older, no doubt. The 12 months of preparation have now passed. It is now Esther's turn to approach the king. We can imagine her trepidation. Each of the women was allowed to take whatever they desired in the way of adornment, and they no doubt took advantage of the opportunity. But Esther, wise lady, played her master's stroke at this stage of the game. She desired nothing but what Haggai advised her to take. She left her cause absolutely with him, and this was one reason she pleased the king so perfectly. The chamberlain knew just what would please the king, and he coached Esther in every detail. What a lesson is here for us who desire our king's favor. Let us trust our keeper, the Holy Spirit, who has come to take charge of us and fit us for the presence of Jehovah. And Haggai succeeded beautifully in the case of Esther. She obtained favor of all that looked upon her. They all knew she would be the choice when the king saw her. And so it came to pass when the king saw the lass, for the other maidens it was a lass. The king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Esther chapter 2, verse 17. Then there was another great feast announced by the king. He invited all the princes and nobles of his kingdom to Esther's feast. He desired all the people to see the beauty of Esther, the Star of Persia, as she was called. And she was glad to yield to her Lord. All his commands she delighted to obey. In this she was a contrast to Vashti, who refused to yield to Ahasuerus' wishes, and hence was abased. Esther was exalted to her place on the throne of empires. Herein are some deep pregnant lessons for the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole and for us as individuals. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15:22. Exaltation is the reward of obedience. Abasement is the result of disobedience. Saul lost the throne because he did not hearken to the word of Jehovah. Likewise, Vashti. The lesson is plain to those whose eyes are opened. If we desire to reign with Christ, we must qualify now by obedience to the written word of God. It would seem as though Mordecai also was advanced to a position of trust, for in the next verse we learn that when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther chapter 2 verse 19. He became one of the petty judges of the city, and the next verse tells us that it was not because of his relationship to Esther. She had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, for so Mordecai had charged her. Esther 2 verse 20. She still obeyed her kinsman as she did when she was brought up with him. Then observe in the closing verses the record of an event that becomes of grave importance later on. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the gate discharging his duties, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. Esther 2 verse 22. When the plot was found out, the two traitors were hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Esther 2:23. Mordecai became the means by which a plot against the life of the king was thwarted. The conspirators were punished, but Mordecai's part in the matter was forgotten. But God is over all. He makes sure that this overlooked service shall one day be rewarded. He sees that all connected with the detection and finding of the criminals is written in the records of the government affairs, and hence shall shortly come to the notice of the king. In one dark hour on a sleepless night, Ahasuerus calls for the records, and the forgotten service is brought to his attention. We shall see the result of that matter later. It comes at a very opportune time. Christ came to conquer. The Son of God came down to war and Satan's kingdom raid. In chains of brass, in dungeon dark, he held a captive maid. The enemy had full control and all man's power defied. No hope was there for her on earth save in the crucified. The Son of God came down to war against the hordes of sin, the citadel of Satan take and victory to win, that he might loose the captive maid and break her fetters all and bring her to her deliverance from under Satan's thrall. The Son of God came down to war and royal wife to gain. He conquered Satan in the fray and drags him in his train. The captive maid was thus set free from every mortal ill. The healing balm of Calvary avails each pang to still.